You're listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas. We're the voice of Richland College. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of anyone at KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. Today I'm going to have not a full hour show, but at least a half hour show on a news story that really broke Monday, and I really was going to present yesterday, but the first Tuesday of every month, my show is preempted because of the Dallas trustees. The DCCD has their board meeting, and as a result, my show is preempted. So today I'll do what I really was going to do either yesterday or Monday if I had the opportunity. And you probably have heard something about it, but you're probably scratching your head and asking, should I be concerned? And my answer to that is definitely, but not yet. And what am I talking about? The Environmental Protection Agency made a big deal of announcing a new rule that they released. And this is a over 650-page document. And this new rule would by 2030, should it go into effect, reduce so-called carbon emissions by 30%. Now, what's going on here and why it might not be an immediate concern is something you need to keep your eye on. And I debated how to approach this. There are different ways into the story. The best way, I think, is to hit you in the pocketbook. If this rule is implemented, and it won't be implemented until for 3 years in 2017, is my understanding. Here's the problem. All your electrical bills will be going up quite a bit. Not immediately. They'll gradually scale it in. And many of you will say, okay, I'm going to have to pay more for electricity. I'll worry about it in 3 years. No, I'd start worrying about it right now. Because I want you to think, first of all, most goods and services in the United States, I would even go further, I would say all goods and services in the United States require electrical power. Even if you're just in an office with a computer and some lights, you need electricity or a telephone if you have a landline still. You need electricity. And even if you don't have a landline and have a cell phone, you need to charge it. So all goods and services require electrical power, some more than others. What does that mean? Every good and service that you buy today would go up because of a significant increase in the cost of electrical power. And this is very much like Obamacare. You know, it doesn't go in effect for several years. And Obama will be out of office if this rule goes into effect. Remember, this is just the first step of a long process. This is what the government does, including the EPA. They will announce a new rule, which they did. There was a lot of fanfare on this. And the lady in charge of the EPA, you know, gave a speech and tried to minimize the cost. Oh, it's only going to cost you about the cost of a gallon of milk a month. Well, most people will say, well, I can afford that. That's probably $3 or $4. Nah, no problem there. Ladies and gentlemen, there's a big problem because all your goods and services require electrical power. That is critical. It's critical. Just think of it. I'm sitting in a college campus in a studio. Obviously, I have lights. I have several computers. All require electrical power. As well, we're broadcasting over the internet. Everything I do requires electricity. Now, when I'm home, it's running my refrigerator, it's running my oven, where I cook, the lighting, and I listen to the radio. I don't have a television, but I do listen to a lot of talk radio. I require electricity. Not a lot, but some. And I have a rather small apartment because it's a temporary situation. I don't plan to be living there too much longer. At most, another year and a half, at most. But it depends on your situation. The larger your home, it's going to be more. It takes more electricity to both to cool it in the summer. And I try to really keep the thermostat fairly high, comfortable, but still high. And in the winter, I keep it low because I don't want to run up a big electrical bill, because it's very, very easy to have the electricity running 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And your primary uses, it's not for your, usually, if you exclude the heating and cooling, your biggest cost is your refrigerator. And I have some lights. I have actually three lamps that I have usually turned on when I'm reading. One is for the background. It bounces off the ceiling. The other is really a small reading lamp, and another gives me a little bit more light. So when I'm reading, I have three lights on. So I'm running some electricity, not a lot. My biggest one really is the refrigerator. However, it really depends on where you live and how hot and cold it gets. In Texas, starting right around now, it gets hotter and hotter and hotter until in August, it typically is over. It's definitely in the 90s, but could be in the hundreds. So you have a certain amount of control over how much electricity you use. And if electrical rates go up, and they definitely will go up if this rule is implemented, I'll give you the details in a minute, because there are different aspects to this you really need to understand, because this is a big lie being told to you again. Just like the president said, you know, you can keep your doctor, you can keep your plan, it's going to cost a family of four $2,500 less. Well, that was a big lie. And this is a huge lie, and I'll explain that in a minute. But the bottom line is, if this rule is completely implemented, you'll be paying a lot more, not only for electrical power, and that's the focus right now, but all goods and services that you consume. This hits every American in the wallet. This is a huge tax increase, and that's how you need to view this. This is a huge tax increase, not a small little itty bitty one, because this impacts you across the board. Everything you buy will get considerably more expensive. That's why you need to wake up to this and make sure your representatives and senators, as well as your state representatives, say no to it and fight it. Now, Texas will fight it because Texas is impacted, probably one of the states impacted the most. Now, why? They're trying to get so-called, the way they sell this, well, we're going to eliminate carbon pollution. Now, most of you, if you hear carbon pollution, what do you think of? You're thinking of dark smoke coming out of a stack from an electrical plant, probably burning coal, dirty coal. You know, they like to call it, coal is never clean coal, it's dirty coal, dirty coal, dirty coal. What aren't they telling you? Many, many years ago, electrical plants throughout the United States, including Texas, that were burning coal, had to make investments of tens of millions of dollars to put in scrubbers. And these scrubbers are huge, they're expensive, and require a lot of electrical power just to run them. But what does those scrubbers do and have been doing? And I favor the use of scrubbers. They take out, for example, what most people would say is the soot, what technically is called the particulate matter. They also take out sulfur dioxide, nitrogen oxide, mercury, and other pollutants. That is why over the United States, the air is much cleaner today. In other words, what most people think of air pollution has been addressed. Is it 100% perfect? No. But pollution, and I will say this, thanks to laws and also thanks to the EPA enforcing those laws, the electrical plants in the United States today have to take steps, including having these scrubbers, to make sure that what comes out those smoke stacks is primarily water vapor. It's steam, folks. That white stuff you see in the pictures, ooh, ooh, Look at that pollution. It's just water vapor. It's smoke, hot water vapor. It's not soot. You see, when we didn't have this, yes, you had particulate matter coming out of the stacks, and you had soot. You better believe you did. And it was polluting our air, and our air was getting dirty. But that was taken care of many years ago. And most Americans, including me, favor that. I think there are very few that don't. Now, I want you to compare that to what's happening in China today. And China is a very good example, because in terms of their total GDP, they're now the largest economy, not per capita, but just in terms of production. They don't have these in Clean Air Act, nor do they have electrical plants that have these scrubbers, because these scrubbers are expensive. That's why your electrical bill is higher already and has been higher for many, many years, really decades. Because all your electrical generating plants had to make significant investments to reduce the pollution in the air, primarily particulate matter, what most people think is soot, very fine particles, because most of the power, at one time, more than half the power generated in the United States was generated through the fuel used was coal. And I don't want to get into the different types of coal, because there's some coal that's cleaner than others. That's not the issue here. The point you need to understand is that what most people think as air pollution has largely, I'm not saying totally 100% complete, but largely been done away with because of the Clean Air Act and the enforcement. But it's more than the enforcement. It's the investment made by these electrical generating plants and money you have paid through the years to get the clean air. Clean air is not cheap. Now, in China, they simply don't have the money. It's a luxury for them to invest in these scrubbers. So what are they doing? They're building. Almost every week, they have a new coal-generated, you know, fire-burning, where coal is the fuel, generating electrical power. And the air is filthy over there. Ask anyone that's been over there, they will tell you that. It's terrible. It is literally terrible. Now, maybe over time, as their economy grows and their standard of living goes up, they will devote more resources to cleaning the air. Right now, they're not doing it. They're doing two things. They're building more and more nuclear-powered electrical plants and more coal-powered electrical plants. And you got to remember, all that pollution comes our way. It goes into the atmosphere. It initially affects the worst people affected are the people living near those power plants. But what happens over time, those particulate matter, those pollutants, including mercury and sulfur dioxide and nitrogen dioxide, the major pollutants, go over the Pacific Ocean and eventually come to the United States. Now, really diluted, though. That's why I say we haven't 100% cleaned up our air. There's no way to do that. There literally is no way to do that, because every power plant across the world would have to invest in technology such as these scrubbers. And for those that are new to my show, the way you listen to the show is to go to pronkpops.wordpress.com. That's pronkpops, pronkpops.wordpress.com. At the very top, you'll have links to my most recent shows, usually my most recent 60 shows. At the very bottom of the same page, you'll have a complete portfolio of all my shows. But in between, you'll have some of the information that I have looked at in preparing the show, including videos and articles. Now, and I have a lot of charts for this one, and mainly dealing with the science, but I want you to first understand what's going on, that you're going to be hit with much higher prices for all your goods. Not immediately, but soon. 3 years might seem like a long time. No, it's not. No, it's not. Now, I don't think it's going to happen. That's my considered opinion, at least at this point in time. But you need to understand what's afoot here and the games that are truly being played. You see, if you want to truly clean the air up of the real pollution, all nations, all power plants have to have these scrubbers and other technologies. It's not just the scrubbers to take out what's legitimately pollution. primarily particulate matter, mercury, sulfur dioxide, and nitric oxide. So start paying attention to this. Now, why is it a big lie? The United States power plants that are powered by coal have put in this, by law, they're required to have this technology at their plants because they have to meet certain standards and they're inspected. Now, here's where they're trying to truly mislead you and lie to you. The goal of this rule is to reduce carbon dioxide emissions. They're trying to make the equivalence that carbon dioxide equals pollution. That's what they're trying to do. And now they're very, very slippery here, and let me show you why. And let me give you a little background. From 1940 to 1975, the temperature, global temperature, was declining. And right around in the mid-70s, the scare was, the alarm went out, we're going to go into another ice age. We're having global cooling. Now, during that same period, remember, this is initially during World War II, but then the period after the war for about 25 years, the U.S. economy was booming. And what happened? And starting around 1958, on an island in Hawaii, they started to collect information about how much carbon dioxide was in the air. It's not very much, but it significantly went up. For most, and here's where you need to get the real big picture. In geologic time, we've had much higher temperatures and much higher levels of carbon dioxide. Many times higher temperatures because it used to be very warm. And the point I'm trying to make, if you take the very long view, climate or temperatures has always gone up and down, always have gone up and down. Climate is always changing. But what they're trying to make you do, and I'm talking about socialists, Democrats, progressives, liberals, social Democrats, whatever they call themselves, they're for government intervention into the economy. They're really anti-capitalist. They're against free enterprise market capitalism. And they want to cripple the American economy. And the way you cripple the American economy is you go after energy. Specifically, we use gasoline for transportation. I know we use some diesel oil. But for most of transportation, it's gasoline and diesel. We also have a certain percentage of our houses require heating oil, but the rest is to generate electrical power. And in the past, coal has been the major fuel. Now, because of the increasing supply of natural gas, although we still need more pipelines to get natural gas to these plants, a new competitor to coal is natural gas, which is cleaner and less expensive to produce electrical energy because it burns cleaner. So what's happened is the share of electrical power generated by coal-powered electrical plants has gone down from a little over 50%. Today it's around 39%. And what has happened, the percentage produced by natural gas power plants has gone up. And besides those two, the other two major sources are nuclear, which is by far the cheapest if you can get it online. And we haven't had a new nuclear plant in decades. But nuclear power, in terms of kilowatt cost, is by far the cheapest. And it is the cleanest, and it is renewable. But the same people that are against fossil fuels are also against nuclear. They want to save the planet. They don't care about human beings. They want to save the planet. We're hurting the planet. Save the planet. The planet has been around before we. You know, the planet is... Well, the universe is 13.7 billion years old. The universe. Our planet is 4.56 billion years old. It's been around way before humans were ever even thought about. And the temperature of the planet has gone up and down, up and down, up and down. And so is the carbon dioxide. But the thing you need to understand, and there's a lot of evidence that I don't want to get bogged down in the science, but you need to understand the big picture because you're being sold a bill of goods here. What the environmentalist, including the EPA, is trying to panic you is saying, oh, it went up from 280 parts per million, and now it's at 370, and it's going up. It's going to more than double, and you redid it. It's human beings. that are responsible for this increase of carbon dioxide because of our industrialization. Are you scared yet? We're causing the climate change because carbon dioxide is a greenhouse gas. Well, let's kind of first get the big picture. Most of our atmosphere consists of two gases, nitrogen and oxygen. Nitrogen is around 78%. I'm giving round numbers. Oxygen is around 21%. So if you add them together, they're approximately 99%. Then you have what's called trace gases, the most important one being argon. But one of the trace gases is carbon dioxide. See, what most people don't hear is ppm. What's ppm? Parts per million. In other words, as part of the atmosphere, carbon dioxide is a very, 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 very small percentage. That's point one. Point two is carbon dioxide is not the most important greenhouse gas. It is a greenhouse gas, but the most important greenhouse gas is water vapor. And water vapor, as it rises into the atmosphere, condenses and forms clouds. Now, what you need to understand is we need greenhouse gases, including carbon dioxide and including water vapor. Because without greenhouse gases, the Earth's temperature would be very, very cold. It would be around zero. So you need greenhouse gases to warm the planet. In other words, carbon dioxide, as well as water vapor, which is the principal greenhouse gas, there are others, including methane, there's several others. But by far, it's water vapor. The distant second is carbon dioxide. And it's important to keep us warm because what it does is trap the radiation that first comes through the sun, goes through our atmosphere, hits the Earth. Some of it is absorbed into the Earth. Other parts of it are radiate out. And what carbon dioxide as well as water vapor does is trap that radiation, which means our temperatures are warmer. See, neither nitrogen or oxygen do that, even though there are larger percentages of the atmosphere. Now, I'm not trying to lose you, but you need to understand some basic facts. Now, we have what's called these global climate models, and much of the panic and the alarmism today is over the results of these climate models. Because these climate models, and they're very sophisticated, they need supercomputers to run them. They're very, very complex. But you can run different scenarios, like changing the level of carbon dioxide. And that's what they do. And what they're trying to do is panic you in thinking that the global temperature is going to go up over a period of 50 to 100 years significantly, like 2, 3, 4, 5, depending degrees centigrade, depending on which model you pick. And part of it is based on the greenhouse gas effect, that if you double the level of carbon dioxide in the atmosphere, the temperature will go up 1 degree centigrade. Now, what you need to understand as you add more and more and more carbon dioxide, the benefit you get from carbon dioxide starts to level out and flatten. I'm not arguing you don't get it's settled physics that if you double the carbon dioxide level, you'll get approximately 1 degree centigrade increase in temperature. But these models are predicting three times that level. Why? They're counting on amplification effects, largely from water vapor. The problem is if you look at the actual observations by satellite as well as weather balloons, remember, we've only had satellite observations, my mind just went blank, for about, I think it's 20 years. And balloons we've had since the 50s. But they're the most accurate, and there's a lot of data on that. And what they're showing is that the actual observations as to what the temperature are at different locations around the globe or on the planet, we haven't had the predicted increases in temperature that the climate models have been predicting. As a matter of fact, instead of multiplying the basic greenhouse effect of 1 degree by 3, it is not multiplied or increased the effect it has actually dampened or decreased the effect because the multiplier is 0.5. In other words, water vapor, and in turn the condensation of water vapor in the clouds, has not resulted in higher and higher and higher temperatures as you increase the amount of carbon dioxide in the atmosphere. So all this panic that you're hearing from Al Gore and his tree-hugging EPA buddies is nonsense. The empirical evidence refutes the predictions made by these climate models. A polite way to say it is the climate models simply do not understand the basic mechanisms involved or the drivers of temperature changes. Now, there's another important point to mention. We have histories primarily from ice cores, but they're also the cores of trees, sediments. There's a lot of scientific data going back hundreds of thousands a year before we had thermometers. And it's primarily the ice core data from Antarctica, where it goes back several hundred thousand years, 240,000, 250,000 years. It shows that, yes, there's a correlation between temperature and carbon dioxide, but invariably what goes up first is the temperature. Let me say that again. What goes up first is the temperature. And what lags behind, usually several hundred years, anywhere from 200 years to 1,000 years, as the temperature goes up by a lag of several hundred years, the carbon dioxide level goes up. What's going on, ladies and gentlemen, you need to understand that the oceans are a big sink or a storage tank, if you will, of carbon dioxide. So as the sun increases the temperature due to its activity, and temperatures go up, the oceans are heated and warmed, and over many hundreds of years, more carbon dioxide is released into the atmosphere. In other words, carbon dioxide is not a driver or cause of increases in temperature. That's the science, folks. That's the empirical information. I'm really giving you a broad and rather quick summary of it. That's why I gave you my reference to my companion blog, prompopops.wordpress.com, because if you go there, you'll see a number of videos that go into this. And I know a lot of people are just not into science. I sort of am, but I don't claim to be a scientist. But I am rational, and I can read. And I'm trying to give you as an unbiased presentation as I can. And there's scientists over... I challenge any scientist to challenge that ice core data. There is a correlation, but correlation does not mean causation. That's sort of basic statistics. Because what you have is temperatures going up, and then several hundred years later, and it's a variable amount, depends on how much the temperature goes up, anywhere from 200 to 1,000 years later, on average about 400 years later, as the temperatures go up, then the level of carbon dioxide goes up. Conversely, when the temperatures start to go down with a lag, so do the levels of carbon dioxide. So you should not be panicked on increases of carbon dioxide because it is a trace gas. And in terms of the Earth's geologic history, we've had levels of carbon dioxide 10 times greater than the current levels when temperatures were a lot warmer. I got the signal. I got to wrap it up. So the important point here is don't be fooled by the EPA. They're basing this on the junk science of these global climate computer models that have been refuted by the data over and over again. And all they're trying to do is get in your wallet, increase your taxes. And you need to be on the lookout for it because that's what they're trying to do. And you need to make sure your representatives say no. Because in Texas, a lot of the power is generated by coal. But it's not carbon pollution that they're after. What they're really after is to decrease carbon dioxide emissions. And that, for all practical purposes, means no more coal. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas. We're the voice of Richland College. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of anyone
at
KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District.